Welcome back to another exciting edition of the SB Nation Houston podcast, and he has returned!
I'm back!
The mighty Gwynn, after a two-week absence,
after as I was promised. Suspended. Brian suspended me for 2 weeks, and now I'm back.
Well, I promised after the first week, and I didn't deliver, but he is back this week. The clouds have parted, and the mighty one has returned. Dylan, how are you doing today?
Very good. Glad to be back.
Now, the Houston Texans last Sunday did not fare very well. They kind of... And you can say if you think this was it, but they fell prey to the dreaded letdown game after clinching the first division title in team history, losing a game to the Carolina Panthers. But overall, how much, if at all, does that loss change what you think the Texans will do for the remainder of the season and into the playoffs?
For the remainder of the season, I still expect them to win out. I mean, it doesn't really change anything as far as this Thursday's game against the Colts or at home against the Titans. Obviously, playoffs depends on who they draw and where they're seated. But, I mean, it doesn't radically change anything in the sense that I feel like they're going to be any worse. In fact, you could almost make the argument that this was a loss the Texans had coming for a while. I mean, they were getting by playing very sloppy football. Turnovers, missed field goals, penalties, things of that nature. Very bad in the kick return game, stuff like that. And this was a loss, I think, that really was on its way. And it's actually, I think, a better thing that had happened now, you know, 3 weeks before the start of the playoffs than obviously happening in the playoffs when you're in a one-game elimination scenario. And also it happened versus an NFC opponent, you know, as opposed to an AFC opponent, so it doesn't hurt you.
Very much, yeah.
In the seeding as much as it otherwise would have. So, I mean, honestly, I don't think it's that bad. In fact, I think it could end up being a net positive if TJ Yates settles down, becomes a better decision maker in the pocket, and also they get Andre Johnson back, which they absolutely should, you know, before the start of the playoffs. Those two things happen. Stop with the fumbles and TJ Yates becoming a better decision maker and getting Andre Johnson back. I still think this is a team that's fully capable of winning a playoff game.
I do agree with that. I think you're right. For a young team, I mean, We talk about veterans. You just mentioned one there, Andre Johnson, Schaub, Foster. But even with Foster, there are a lot of young guys on this team. And even with the veterans, it's a team that hasn't experienced very much winning at all. So I think it's a good teaching point. Hopefully Kubiak uses this as, you know, see, I told you so. This is what I was talking about for the last month.
Well, in fact, the week before the Carolina game, Kubiak had been forcing Ben Tate and Arian Foster to go through more ball protection drills.
Oh, they need
anti-fumbling, you know, drills. And obviously it hadn't worked. Why? Because they were winning. And it's hard to get anybody to change what they're doing when what they're doing is producing victory. Normally you only change what you're doing when it actually costs you something. And last week it cost them something. So I agree. I would expect Kubiak's, you know, anger and lamentations in practice to be much more convincing than what they were the previous week, because now it actually hurt their team.
I completely agree. Now, you mentioned a key point with if this was going to happen, it was good that it happened against an NFC team because it didn't affect, other than the obvious loss, it didn't affect tie-breaking scenarios for playoff seeding. We talked about this off-air yesterday. There's still a decent shot, despite the loss, that they could get a first-round bye. The scenario basically is if the Patriots lose and the Texans went out, that would create a scenario where even if Baltimore won out, you'd be in either a three-team tie or a two-team tie with New England, and the Texans would get the number one seed based on conference record. Vice versa, if the Texans went out and the Ravens lose on the road against the Bengals, which obviously they've shown an ability to lose on the road, then that would also get them a first-round bye as the second seed. Where do you see them finishing right now? You think they get a bye, or do they end up as the third seed?
I think they get a bye. I really do. I think one of those two teams, New England or Baltimore, is going to lose before the end of the year. And everybody's kind of writing off the idea that the Patriots would lose to the Dolphins.
They have the Bills at home.
Have you not been watching that series over the past decade
or so?
Dolphins
have been playing better.
That is a very hotly contested series. There's a lot of animosity between those two teams. Who do the New England Patriots have that's going to cover Brandon Marshall?
Nobody.
I think
Julian Edelman's playing safety.
How many yards did Reggie Bush run for against
205?
Buffalo?
205,
I mean, why is that so inconceivable to people that New England could, you know, have a mulligan and or just get beat? against Miami. I don't think that's inconceivable. And obviously, you mentioned the Ravens scenario too. You would expect
at the Bengals, yeah.
You would expect them to win on Saturday at home against
the Browns,
Cleveland,
of course, yeah.
But on the road,
against
the Bengals, who that game could be meaningful for them. You know, I would expect that to go down to the wire.
I mean, the Ravens have certainly shown an ability to lose on the road to your inferior teams. And like you said, the Bengals are 8-6. They're right in there in the playoff hunt for the last spot with the Jets. So that'll certainly be a big-time game for them. Yeah, I would say there's at least a 50-50 chance they end up with a bye, maybe even a little bit more in that favor. Now, to this week specifically, they face a Colts team, and I actually think it's a good time for a short week because
yes.
It gives you a chance to refocus quickly, put the last week's loss behind you, and it doesn't hurt that you're facing a Colts team, which, you know, even despite their win last week over Tennessee, it's still a team that with your run game and your defense, you should throttle.
There's no question about that. I think it's absolutely perfect scenario for the Texans because you think about it, the things they have to change are not – you know, organizational, foundational, sweeping kind
of
changes.
Yeah, they're not complete overhauls.
It's the stuff you were taught from the first day of Pop Warner. Hold on to the freaking football. Don't throw it to the guy with the other color jersey. I mean, make sound decisions. Just do those little things. And you say little things, really they're not, because those are the things that end up getting you killed in the playoffs. But I mean, make those relatively easily correctable or at least quickly correctable corrections, and then go out there on the road and you get a chance to do it against a team that's, I mean, come on. You shouldn't even have to throw the ball at all to beat Indianapolis.
No, I absolutely agree. I don't know if it'll be, the first week one of the season was 34-7. I don't know if it'll be quite that big, but let's get into a score prediction. I'll say off the top of my head, 31-6. What do you think?
You do realize the Texans have not scored more than 20 points in a game since Matt Schaub has been out.
All right. More than 20 – oh, you're right about that.
You're 31. They have not –
but each of those defenses they faced, though, is obviously much better than what they'll
Carolina,
face against the Colts.
13?
Panthers are a bad defense. There's no doubt about that. But they're better than the Colts defense.
All right. I don't think they're
31.
Better.
All right. Well, let's say 24-6. How about that?
24-6, so no touchdown being allowed by the Stampede defense. I think that's fair. I'll go 24. I don't know.
24-10. 10. All right.
something like that, but I really think when you bring up the 31 and stuff like that, it's like, that almost leads into another conversation because the Texans have been scoring 17 points a game without Matt Schaub.
Well, it would have to be Arian Foster and Tate dominating the game. There's no doubt about that. They're not going to throw it 31 times.
Right.
Not only because of who they have at quarterback, but if you get into a situation where a team with Freeney and Mathis knows you're passing, you're asking for trouble.
Well, exactly. I mean,
those are the only two playmakers they have on the team.
Right. So, I mean, I expect it to be obviously dominated by Tate and Foster and stuff like that. And I expect them to protect Yates a little bit in this game. But I would be very surprised if they scored more than 24 points.
All right, let's switch sports quickly before we have to wrap it up here. The NBA tips off on Sunday, so let's do a quick little NBA preview. I'm going to run down a couple of the things that I predicted on the blog. Of course, that is at ktrh.com, the Hit and Run blog. Under blogs, just go to ktrh.com. It is the Hit and Run. Right now, I have my Western Conference Finals. I have the Thunder beating the Dallas Mavericks. I just think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but on a short season, Dallas has got a lot of veterans with Kidd, Terry, Nowitzki. Plus, they lost players like Tyson Chandler and Caron Butler. I think that's still a team good enough to get to the conference final, but I think this is the Thunder's year. And over in the East, I have the Heat beating the Bulls. Same thing with the Celtics. I just think older players, now you got back-to-back-to-back games. I think the younger teams like the Heat and the Bulls will dominate the Eastern Conference. And in a Heat-Thunder NBA Finals, I have the Heat winning over the Thunder in 6 games. Your thoughts?
I have the same champion. I mean, I have the Heat winning it all. I have a different Eastern Conference matchup. I think the Heat and the Knicks.
I did have the Knicks winning their division and being a top 3 seed. I just don't think when they match up with – I mean, maybe definitely with the Heat, but I don't even know if I'd like them in a matchup with the Bulls, especially in the way that – playoff basketball slows down and turns into a half-court defensive game.
Yeah, but I think their ability to play that game improved markedly by picking up Tyson Chandler.
True, true.
So, I mean, they get Tyson Chandler, and I think they picked up Baron Davis to help with the guards.
They did.
So, I mean, you got Melo, Mari, Tyson Chandler, Baron Davis. There's a lot of talent on that team.
So you have Heat over Knicks?
I have the Heat over Knicks in a good series.
Yeah.
In a really good series. I would also then go – Western Conference, I'm not sold on Dallas – getting that far. I think Dallas lost a lot this year.
I just didn't see I the part of the reason I picked them. The Thunder was an obvious choice for me, at least in my opinion.
No,
but
I agree
the why I picked the Mavericks, and it wasn't even really because the Mavericks are great for the reasons I mentioned before with the players they lost. But I mean, all those other teams that are right behind them have huge question marks as well. The Spurs have gotten a lot older. We've talked about the shortened season, the way it could affect them. The Lakers lost Lamar Odom, so maybe there's some question marks there. Paul Gasol, Bynum's had some injury problems.
What do you think about the Clippers?
I like the Clippers. I just don't know if they're ready year one. I think in my predictions, I had them finishing second in their division, being a top four seed. But I just think the experience, despite Paul's brilliance, will be too much for them to overcome against the Mavericks this year. Next year, I think the Clippers are a legit contender, but I think they're a year away.
Well, see, that could well be the case. I don't think experience will be the issue, though. I think it'll be age. I mean, you know, can Chauncey Billups and an injury-prone Chris Paul.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting backcourt combo with two point guards there.
And you watch them in their preseason game against the Lakers. It was really interesting. It was good.
Yeah, Chauncey played well.
But Chauncey cannot stay healthy. I mean, we've seen that. We saw it in New York last year. Chris Paul can't stay healthy. We've seen that.
No, certainly.
I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean,
as a guy that has him on his fantasy team, right, I definitely know about that.
This is a team without a two guard.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. So, I mean, it's like you've got two injury-prone guys who are in the backcourt right now, and you got to wonder if they're going to be able to keep that up over the course of the entire season. I doubt it. So you think
they're a year away now? We both have the Thunder making the Western Conference Finals, is that correct?
Yeah.
Who do you have them facing?
I gotta tell you.
Lakers? Do you see them rebounding? I mean, they got knocked out in the second round last year.
They got knocked out in the second round last year. This is true.
And they're out without Lamar Odom.
But I do think
Bynum's got injury questions.
I do sense a major comeback for Pau Gasol, though. I do think
this trade inspires him?
I think it does.
Well, the failed trade, that is?
I think the threat of being, you know, removed from a place where he obviously loves playing, I think that scares him. I think he's going to come out and want a ball this year, and Kobe knows his time is nearing the end, and I feel like you could get a little bit more out of the Lakers.
So you have Thunder Lakers. Who do you have losing to the Heat in the finals?
Thunder.
So we both have Heat over Thunder in the NBA Finals. Now, to the hometown aspect of the NBA, of course, this season, tell me what you think about this. But I have the Rockets it's a 66-game schedule, something like 36-30, finishing in the 8th seed of the playoffs and obviously getting knocked out by the Thunder, who I have as the West top seed. Do you think that's fair? Do you think they could do a little bit better, or will they do a little bit worse? What do you think?
Well, if they do any better than that, it'll be like 38-28 or something like that. I mean, I feel like that's fair. I think the Rockets could be sneaky good this year. I mean, you look at their roster. It's a shortened season. Their roster, they only have one player over the age of 30.
Scola, yeah.
The rest of the team, I think Kevin Martin is 28, and the rest of the team is really young. I mean, they're all a bunch of really young guys. And in a shortened season, I think that's an advantage. Also, you throw in the fact there are some people on this team who have something to prove this year.
Well, was it almost the entire, I don't know if it's 2008 draft or whatever it is, but you've got Terrence Williams.
Jordan Hill. Hasheem Thabeet.
Yeah, you got all these guys that were failed draft picks other places that are,
I mean, if these guys
making
are gonna,
that last stab at catching on.
Forget about making it with the Rockets. These are guys who, if they're going to make it in the NBA, I mean, they've got to show something this year.
I do believe that Hill and Terrence Williams have the potential to show something. I'm still not there in Hasheem Thabeet. I hope he proves me wrong. I mean, having a 7-2 guy in the middle would be huge for this team, but I just don't see – he just seems like that classical guy. If he was 6'6", would he have a chance of being in the league?
No.
I mean, he's only there because he's 7'2", so hopefully he proves me wrong, but it seems like we're on the same page. Rockets probably – just above 500 and sneak into the eighth. You have him as the eighth seed?
Yeah, I could see him as an eighth seed.
All right, well, tell him where to find you, Dylan.
You can find me at Sports Talk 790, AM 790 on the AM dial here in Houston, 11 to noon, Monday through Friday, always at sports790.com.
And, of course, Mighty After Dark now 4 days a week.
Yeah, most weeks.
Most weeks.
sometimes that shifts, but, yeah, same AM 790, 7 to 8, at least a couple nights a week. Make sure to check back with us on that.
All right, he is at the Mighty Gwen on Twitter. I am at Sacked by BMAC, now with no underscores. New and improved.
There you go.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. See you then.